From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump on Monday morning belittled a top Democratic congressman on Twitter, saying, quote, "Little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for higher office, is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington." Schiff is the highest-ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, which is investigating Trump's possible collusion with Russian officials during the last election. The committee investigation is happening in concert with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe. The public and highly juvenile-sounding rebuke on Schiff comes on the heels of a deeply politicized release of the so-called Nunes memo last week. Congressman Devin Nunes, who Trump hailed as having, quote, "tremendous courage and grit," and who heads the House Intelligence Committee, authored the four-page memo looking into possibly political motivations of the Justice Department and the FBI in their investigation of the Trump campaign. My guest is Stephen Spaulding, Chief of Strategy and External Affairs for Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Good to be back, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So the Nunes memo was talked about at great length before it was released on Friday, and then it became public. Trump signed off instantly on releasing it. Some had hoped that he would hold back, but he didn't, which should not surprise us. What do you make? Some are saying that it was just a bunch of hot air, that there's actually really nothing of great consequence in the memo. What is your assessment?
Well, we read the memo with as soon as it came out. I think most of D.C. all of a sudden reacted instantly and tried to download it. And really, there's just not a lot of there. That being said, it's still incredibly dangerous. I don't think at all anything in the memo raises any concerns whatsoever. It is filled with cherry-picked half-truths, innuendos, really doesn't say anything at all. To concern those that want a true, open, and transparent investigation into what happened in 2016, who was connected who has been trying to undermine the Russia investigation, who's been engaging in obstruction of justice. If anything, this memo was a transparent attack on the Mueller investigation, on the independence of the special counsel, and really that's about it. It's incredibly disturbing. Of course, this memo came to be released in the manner that it did, where the House Intelligence Committee would not make any of the underlying information available, published this, you know, cherry-picked memo, as I said, and then simultaneously blocked publication of the Democratic rebuttal. So that should tell you everything that you need to know about how this was a nakedly partisan attack on the independence of Special Counsel Mueller as an effort to really undermine senior leadership at the Department of Justice and ultimately try to, I think, get away from being held accountable for what happened in 2016 as the results of this, as the investigation continues to move forward.
So essentially, Republicans were attempting to show that the FISA surveillance warrant obtained for Carter Page, who was a Trump campaign aide, was prompted by this shadowy British MI5 figure named Christopher Steele that the Hillary Clinton campaign had hired to dig up dirt on Trump. But of course, both sides had tried to dig up dirt on each other. I suppose the Trump folks are saying that since that was then somehow linked to this warrant for Carter Page, the entire investigation is tainted by partisanship. That's their justification, right?
Well, and what makes it particularly absurd is that the memo, that is what they're saying, that's what they're trying to dredge up, that this was somehow, I mean, their argument is, and I hate making their argument, but their argument was that somehow the FBI was being driven by the DNC and by the Clinton campaign to somehow smear Carter Page. Here's what the memo does say. It does confirm that the July 2016 counterintelligence investigation that the FBI started did not at all rely upon this shadowy Steele memo or on Fusion GPS. It relied upon the George Papadopoulos meetings in Great Britain in the United Kingdom with Russian people connected to the Kremlin and the Russian government. That's what launched this. When we get to that Steele dossier, to the Fusion GPS matter, the memo that the Republicans released last week, the Nunes memo, makes much of the fact that Fusion GPS was paid in part by the DNC and or the Clinton campaign, doesn't at all mention that actually Fusion GPS was originally hired by a conservative media outlet, the Washington Free Beacon. That's what started all of this opposition research. And that being said, even then, here's what we know. We know that at least four times the FISA court signed off, apparently, on maintaining electronic surveillance of Carter Page because there were concerns that he was an agent of Russia and was on the Trump campaign. So you have a Department of Justice under both the Obama administration and the Trump administration in the form of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein signing off on court documents saying that there was reason to believe that there was probable cause that Carter Page was an agent of Russia. And that's, you know, that's ultimately all that that's what we know from this memo. It makes much of, it tries to paint a partisan picture, and it does a pretty terrible job at doing that.
Now, I understand that there is correspondence within the FBI that has been dug into and found to reveal equal disdain for the Trump folks and the Clinton folks, and that it was just a Clinton aspect that was cherry-picked to make the case that this was a partisan issue, but that the FBI, I mean, the one thing it looks like the FBI was successfully doing is remaining either, you know, sort of somewhat nonpartisan in that it was being equally unpartisan or nonpartisan, however you want to look at it. The FBI is supposed to really, that's why FBI directors have tenures that stagger with presidential tenures. It's supposed to be an agency. And of course, this is one with a sordid history. There's so many problems that the FBI has had in terms of its incursion into the rights of Americans. But they're supposed to not be wedded to specific administrations, and they tend to not be, right?
Well, the issue here is what Americans are entitled to the truth. That's what needs to happen. The House Intelligence Committee's investigation, which is led by Devin Nunes, the chairman of the committee, it's been shown to be a farce. And, you know, I'll just point out that what the intelligence community agreed upon in their assessment that was released in January of 2017 is that Russia tried to influence the 2016 election with the express purpose of electing Donald Trump president of the United States and undermining faith in United States in our democratic system. And unfortunately, it appears that Chairman Nunes the questions are, who is he beholden to? Why on earth is he spending House resources, spending the committee's resources, attacking the Department of Justice, attacking the FBI, rather than getting to the bottom of what our intelligence community said happened in 2016 and getting answers so that we can solve what they did moving forward? We already know that the midterm elections are 9 months away, that our systems are at risk, and there are solutions we need to be taking right now to bolster election security, to curbing misinformation campaigns. Why is Devin Nunes pushing this phony line that this was somehow some sort of a partisan political witch hunt against the president? It just doesn't really add up. It doesn't make any sense. So unfortunately, we're just not going to be able to take, I think, what comes out of the House Intelligence Committee, at least the Republican majority, seriously. We're going to have to put our faith in the Mueller investigation. I'll point out that some Republicans have made very clear that the Mueller investigation needs to move forward unimpeded. There's a Senate Intelligence Committee investigation happening as well. And we continue to call for an independent commission, a commission, a blue ribbon commission of maybe people that aren't in elected office, but that have strong nonpartisan histories or bipartisan histories, to explore again what happened and to make concrete concrete solutions forward again so that we can solve this so that it doesn't happen again. But ultimately, I think it's a very sad day when we see this sort of, well, the Democrats say this and the Republicans say that on something that's of fundamental importance here, when we and our democracy was under attack by a foreign adversary. We should be figuring out ways to shore up our system moving forward to protect everyone's right to vote and have a say in the decisions that affect their lives.
Stephen, the idea has been for Republicans to muddy the waters enough that ultimately whatever comes out of the Mueller probe won't be taken seriously, can be dismissed as a partisan investigation. Do you think they're going to be successful given the way things are playing out so far?
Well, I hope not. I certainly hope that we can maintain, we can really put country before party and agree on a basic set of facts, which, as I already mentioned, we all know that there was an effort to undermine our democracy in 2016 with all kinds of misinformation campaigns. So long as we're in this kind of tit-for-tat partisan exercise, we are the other side is winning, and it's undermining, I think, our democracy's effort to kind of move forward in a way that we can have confidence and trust in our institutions that are there to protect us and to serve the public good. Mm-hmm. So I hope that this kind of partisan exercise doesn't move forward. I do think the Trump team and the Nunes team, there are still questions that need to be answered. How much did the White House know about this memo? Did they suggest the memo? Devin Nunes earlier had that trip to the White House last spring that was very bizarre that he, you know, was under an ethics committee investigation for. So there are all kinds of unanswered questions here, questions about whether the House in particular is able to do its job and to get to the bottom of this. But ultimately, I don't think this sort of a partisan food fight is helpful. And I think that Americans are seeing through that. At least the most recent polling that I saw, the president's tweets notwithstanding, the polling still is that Americans have confidence in Special Counsel Mueller's investigation moving forward and are seeing these sorts of attacks for the obstructionist tactics that they are, which is to thwart and delay, I think, the administration of justice and an investigation.
Stephen, are Republican operatives, no, I shouldn't say operatives, lawmakers really, rallying around Nunes and Trump on this issue? Or are any of them sort of distancing themselves from the way this has played out? I noticed that Paul Ryan seems to want to stay above the fray a little bit. He said that the contents of the memo, according to the New York Times, do not indict the FBI or impugn Mr. Mueller's investigation or Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein.
Well, Speaker Ryan has done absolutely nothing, I think, to move this investigation forward. I think it's a disgrace that he continues to allow Chairman Nunes to preside over the Intelligence Committee, given the missteps that we've already talked about. So I don't really have any confidence at all in the Speaker's leadership here. It's been quite disturbing to see him take a really hands-off approach. And I agree with you. I think that by and large, they have been rallying behind Nunes and rallying behind this Republican talking point rather than really holding the administration accountable, which is, you know, why we have separate branches of government. The legislature and Congress is a co-equal branch of the president's. That said, there have been some helpful statements. I was pleased to see the speaker say that this shouldn't affect the Mueller investigation. Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's retiring, also had some helpful comments in that regard. I think comments that are, again, about putting country before party. I think we've seen some Republicans in the Senate also say, you know, that was totally inappropriate for this memo to be released, let alone without them having had a chance to read it themselves in the wake of massive objections from those that had read the memo and were familiar with more of the underlying information. So I do think that's another reason why I'm hopeful. I don't think things have completely broken down yet, but it was really a disturbing sign to see how Nunes just marched forward anyways and appears to be working kind of in lockstep with Trump and the Trump administration.
Also, does the release of the memo undermine claims or these sorts of whenever you have whistleblowers who leak information, Republicans and, of course, Democrats are among the first to talk about the need to protect national security. So the FBI and many Democrats last week, ahead of the release of the Nunes memo, said that the release would undermine national security by just in general questioning the need for transparency. So does any of that get impacted by the release of this memo?
Well, I think the release of the memo, again, just goes to show that this was just a partisan effort to undermine Mueller.
I mean, next time Democrats could force release of more information saying, well, if the Nunes memo could be released, then this could be released. I mean, I'm all for greater transparency, but the FBI probably isn't.
Well, that's, I mean, absolutely. We need intel. We need, first of all, we need oversight, of course, of the intelligence agencies and of the FBI. By all means, as you've mentioned, the FBI has a very checkered history when it comes to protecting civil liberties. The building is named after J. Edgar Hoover, who himself, many books have been written about his abuses. That said, what we're talking about here is the Russia investigation, Special Counsel Mueller, who has been doing a superb job keeping a very tight ship. Not much has leaked whatsoever, other than, of course, it's not even a leak, but the indictments that have already come down, the guilty pleas. And as this investigation continues to close in on the president, you see him reacting and lashing out, firing anyone who may have had some sort of oversight over Trump or his businesses. Sally Yates, Jim Comey, Preet Bharara, all of these people have been thrown overboard. And we know that he's been, you know, rattling the saber for a while. The New York Times reported, I think it was last week or the week before, that, he already ordered the firing of Robert Mueller. And the only reason why it didn't move forward was because his White House counsel threatened to resign. So what we should be doing is bolstering and protecting the independence of Robert Mueller. There are bipartisan bills pending in Congress and the Senate. Senator Tillis from North Carolina and Senator Coons, Senator Cory Booker, and Senator Lindsey Graham, they both have bills that would protect the Mueller investigation. And what we need for them to do is really to move forward.
Now, Politico just had a piece out on Monday that, I haven't seen this before. It says, Russia probe lawyers think Mueller could indict Trump. Many legal scholars doubt a U.S. versus Trump case is possible, but two attorneys who have dealt with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team disagree. One expects Mueller to move as early as this spring. What do you make of this idea that Mueller could actually indict the sitting president of the United States?
Well, let's just start with, I think the basic proposition is that no one is above the law, including the president of the United States. That's a bedrock legal principle. Now, that said,
the president does enjoy some immunities.
Well, but the president is not above the law and does not at all give the president license to break the law. Now, that said, the question is how and who holds him accountable. The Department of Justice, under both the Clinton administrations and the Nixon administrations, took the position that a sitting president can't be indicted. But the courts never ruled on that. Those are questions of those are, as you said, questions that lawyers have opined upon. That said, there's no question whatsoever that the Congress can hold the president accountable for high crimes and misdemeanors. So there is that kind of safety valve. So the whether or not the president can be indicted or not as a sitting president, some people say that is an open question, and people have made arguments on both sides. But ultimately, where there's no dispute whatsoever is that the Congress does have the authority to indict a president in the form of impeachment proceedings. That's happened before, and then the Senate, you know, puts the president on trial. So that's kind of, you know, whether or not the constitutionality of indicting a sitting president is up for question. There is also this other path to hold a president accountable.
Give out a website, Stephen, for Common Cause.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. So folks can follow us at commoncause.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Common Cause and on Facebook at Common Cause. We also have organizations all throughout the country at the state level that are working to hold power accountable. But you can find out more at commoncause.org.
Thank you so much. And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Sonali. I appreciate it.
Stephen Spaulding is the Chief of Strategy and External Affairs for Common Cause. We've been discussing what the Nunez memo signifies. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.